My name is Sarine Koka and I cordially welcome you to my podcast, My Musik Leben. I have studied classical singing and nowadays I sing lots of contemporary and experimental music. If you would like to know more about me, please look at my website www.ironeneka.de. I will put this into the show notes for you. I also invite you to subscribe to my monthly newsletter. In this podcast, I share with you themes all around, insider knowledge behind the scenes and the human beings out of this amazing music world. And I'm cooperating with the NMZ, der Neuen Musikzeitung, which is a very important German music paper. And I'm very thankful for all of you who actually take the time to reach out to me and give me some feedback or tell me what has moved you. And oftentimes when you're moved, I'm moved too. And it really motivates me to keep going with this podcast. And I'm also proud that we have grown to a real worldwide community. And I'm sometimes surprised, which countries also listen to this podcast. And there are some statistics that I have I can look at and they tell me this. Today, I have an interview for you with the composer Christian Benzemuc. Christian Benzemuc lives in Romania. I had the honor to sing there last fall and even premiere a piece by Christian. So let's dive into the interview with Christian Benzemuc.
Hello and good morning, Christian Benzemuc. I cordially welcome you into my podcast.
Thank you, Irene, for your invitation and for this special opportunity to participate in our podcast.
That's amazing, and I'm excited. Where are you right now? In what city?
I'm in Cluj-Napoca, in the heart of Transylvania, in Romania, and I'm sitting in the office from the Music Academy from Cluj-Napoca, and hopefully no one will disturb us in the next hour.
That's cool. Great. And I would like to know from you, how did you find your way into new experimental and avant-garde music?
When I applied to the conservatory in 1997, or rather when I first felt the desire to compose sometime around 1994, 1995, I was in 10th grade in high school, my plan was to compose symphonic rock, to study composition in order to learn first and foremost composition and orchestration, and to be able to play in a rock band and compose for the band. If at first symphonic rock seemed like the most elaborate music I listened to as a teenager, after I began to study classical music very seriously, especially contemporary classical music, I gradually abandoned my initial idea. I upgraded and found something much more elaborate and interesting. In fact, the most elaborate and professional music of all possible genres, classical music. And because I believe that today you can no longer fully express yourself in music as a composer through one of the musical languages prior to the 20th century, I turn with interest, curiosity, and passion towards new music, from which I chose and gather what suits me, what I like, and I try to express myself as best as I can in this context. My composition teacher, Hans-Peter Türk, told us that he could only guide us in the direction he believed in. Similarly, I try to write only what I believe in, what makes sense to me first and foremost.
So a great, great story from symphonic rock to contemporary music. Yeah, and you said it's about finding yourself and your style. Did you find that easy?
It wasn't that easy. Until the last year of the bachelor studies, I wasn't very sure where is my place in the new music. Hopefully in the fifth year of study, I started to understand the possibilities for me to express in the new music. And since then, everything looks, I think, okay.
And do you play an instrument?
Yes, I played violin from the beginning, from the primary school until the end of the music academy. Nowadays, not anymore so much. I use it only when I write for strings, for instance. for different extending techniques and so on.
It's a great instrument because you have to listen so well and you're busy with tuning and all that, and that's really cool. And I also find that in a country like Romania, you often have a very good training, like also that you get a lot of the basics taught very, very well. Would you agree with that?
I hope so. As a violinist, I haven't been very good. I started with a short handicap in the first years of study with not such a good teacher. And then in the third grade, I changed the teacher, but it was a little bit too late to make performance, in a very high level. But I corrected and corrected and tried to improve. And it was very useful, as you said, for the tune, for listening, develop the musical ear, let's say, and also to make music very directly, playing an instrument, not only composing or.
Obviously, it led you to composition. It was so clear. But I think if you have played an instrument like violin, you also have an understanding for the interpreters. And I would like to know what are the qualities you most appreciate in interpreters you work with.
I feel very comfortable with musicians, performers, or composers who are open to all kind of music, who are well trained in classical music from Baroque, classical, Romantic periods, but who also seek meaning and sensitivity in new music. You can immediately sense a true professional who is also passionate about what they do, as opposed to a simple performer who does not believe in any of the notes they play or sing. I'm stimulated by the passion and openness of other musicians, and I really enjoy learning from each of them. On many occasions, I have received excellent suggestions from performers regarding my pieces when they wanted not only to get rid of the burden of performing the piece, but were looking for meaning, a credible and authentic expression, when they too wanted to perform very well. In those moments, I feel privileged and happy to be in such company, and I try to be as open as they are, as authentic, and it is as we all are in the service of music. As far as composers are concerned, I feel much more attracted to modest people, despite their obvious successes, and open to other music and musical languages or tendencies, even if they do not practice them. I remember with great admiration the maestro Cornel Țăranu, founder of the Modern Cluj Festival, member of the Romanian Academy, professor of composition, and dedicated composer who, although he was body and soul for the avant-garde music, listened jazz with pleasure, could appreciate a piece written in a neoclassical language or a polystylistic piece, judging its qualities not in relation to his stylistic orientation, but strictly in relation to what any piece and any music should have: balance, variety, contrasts, climaxes, judging the qualities of a piece in the stylistic key adapted by the composer in question with openness and interest.
Wow, cool. And I mean, you have written a piece for Martin Wistinghausen and me, so I know that you write for voice and you did a great job, and we're practicing it and rehearsing it and exchanging about it. And so how is it for you writing for voice? Because this is such a special thing. I mean, I know composers who really like it and they're good at it. And there are a few composers, they're actually afraid of composing for voice. And why do you think this is the way how it is? And how do you approach composing for the human voice?
Indeed, writing for voice is something very special, especially in the context of newer musical languages. In my opinion, it is noticeable whether the composer has a minimum of vocal culture or whether he approaches the voice as another instrument, embedded in the performer with a certain range and certain technical possibilities. I would recommend all composers and musicians to sing in at least in a semi-professional choir for at least a few years. I sang for 12 years, then I didn't have time anymore, in the Capella Transilvanica choir of the Academy of Music in Cluj, conducted by Maestro Cornel Groza, where I learned a lot about voice and choir from Renaissance music to the 20th century. I also took private singing lessons for a little over a year. At the time, I was considering whether or not to apply for a position in the Cluj Philharmonic Choir, which is fantastic. I also was selected, being a student, as a chorister in the International Choir and Orchestra for a scholarship from the International Bach Academy in Stuttgart in 2001. And I sang in Verdi's Requiem, Messa per Rossini, as well as contemporary a cappella repertoire under the baton of Helmut Rilling. It was an unforgettable experience. So writing for voice is something special. It should be something special. And I don't think anything very good can come out of it without proper adaptation and training.
Wow. And what is the range you're singing? Are you baritone, tenor?
I'm a tenor, but
wow,
not very high.
The random ones. Cool. And singing in such a great choir with Rilling, I mean, that's very high level, but amazing.
Yes, I think maybe it was the highest moment for me as a singer in a choir. I learned.
Wow. Yeah, I like it when composers also sing. I mean, you obviously do it much better, but I often feel when it comes then to rehearsing, if it's just something that's born in their head or if they tried it out. And a lot of composers, they can sing it to me. It doesn't have to be like beautiful, beautiful, but I can still get the gesture of it. And I really like that. And I think I also think it makes a big difference. And also the thing you say, to be aware that the voice is not an instrument, even though many composers try to make an instrument out of us. And that can sometimes work, but sometimes it's also kind of, you feel like you're put into a cave.
Yes.
And I'm also curious, because I now have seen your piece and we're working on it. And I also think that you got a strong feeling for Martin and me. You probably watched some of our videos because...
Yes, indeed.
So do you really get into the performer, and does it help you that you know you're now performing, for instance, for Martin and Irene?
Yes, it's a difference when I know for who I write the piece. And in your case, I watched the videos that Martin sent me. And from the beginning, it was something very special. Yes, I try to do something special for special performance. So
that's great. Yeah, we love the piece, and it's also what I also like about it is that there is humor in it, because I feel, I mean, the theme of the festival is humor and play and so on. But I find, I don't know how it is in Romania, but I find often in Germany that we have so many very serious new music pieces, and there's so little funny ones. And I think our scene or also needs that, because then maybe you can also attract an audience, because at least in Germany, it's not that everybody likes contemporary music. So you have to make an effort to attract people or an audience. And I think humor is always a good way to get people. Or what do you think?
You are completely right. This summer, I had two very difficult things to do. First, to write a piece for piano solo, and the theme for that piece was love. How to speak about love in a new language? It was so difficult to me. I hope I did it right. And also to make a music, to make a piece involving humorous. So, but you are right. These feelings are so important. Eventually, they can bring us new audience, which is very important, to show everybody that the new music is still music, only written by living composers.
Yeah.
And maybe a different language.
Yeah, and since I also know that you are, I mean, I admire that, I mean, I've known now some composers from Romania and talk to them. And I'm so impressed that many of you are also so involved in curating things, and you're busy and you're not just sitting around lazy. And so I know that you're also curating things. And what do you do to attract the audience? Or would you say Romanian people like contemporary music? It's easy, or how do you get them?
In Romania, unfortunately, classical music itself is a niche area, very specific, specialized, with only a few large cities, Bucharest, Cluj-Napoca, Iași, Timișoara, Brașov, and a few others having philharmonic orchestras, opera houses, and an audience for such things. When it comes to new music, this already niche audience shrinks to a few dozen people who attend a particular recital or concert. The good news is that there are still quite a few new music festivals, for instance, New Music Week in Bucharest, Meridian, Bucharest, but also held in several locations, Cluj, Iași, Timișoara, Modern Cluj, Remus Georgescu in Timișoara, or festivals that also host new music concerts, like Cluj Musical Autumn, even the Great Enescu Festival, which managed to obtain budgetary funds and continue from year to year, from edition to edition, and thus new music lives, grows, and even gains an audience, even if it is one person or several person at a time. I try to expose the audience from Cluj to as many contemporary music concerts as possible. For the past 4 or 5 years, together with the Transylvania Philharmonic in Cluj, I have revitalized two concerts with contemporary pieces from Cluj as part of the Cluj Musical Autumn Festival, with research funds managed by the Academy of Music, for which I apply every year, and two other concerts affiliated with the George Enescu Festival every 2 years. I'm also running a project in partnership with the Sigismund Toduța Music College in Cluj-Napoca, project initiated by Professor Ramona Janert Telcian. Now the project is in its third or fourth edition, through which composers from Academy of Music write original pieces for the pupils, high school students of the music college, who perform them with great pleasure and enthusiasm, a project aimed at bringing high school students closer to new music. So I coordinate projects and concerts, and I hope that my efforts will expose more people to new music. This is, I think, our way to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great, also including high school kids. And
they are so cute and fresh and open.
Sure. And I think you're also teaching, right?
Yes. Yes, I'm a teacher.
Where are you teaching, or what are you teaching?
I am teaching at the Music Academy from Cluj-Napoca. I am teaching musical forms and analysis, and for a few years now, composition also. Composition.
And how is that for you, teaching now yourself composition and hopefully make them find themselves or find their style?
Teaching composition is an extremely demanding task, requiring extensive experience and entailing a great deal of responsibility. This is how I feel. At the Gheorghe Dima Academy of Music in Cluj, composition is taught according to the method established by Sigismund Toduță, who was Romanian's first doctor of musicology, who obtained his doctorate at the Pontificio Instituto di Musica Sacra in Rome. Until the 1990s, at the time of the December 1989 revolution in Romania, a doctorate in music could only be obtained in Cluj, not in Bucharest, under the tutelage of Sigismund Toduță. The school of composition he established provides for style exercises, meaning that first-year students begin to learn about and imitate the main styles and composers, starting with the Renaissance, then Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, Romantics, and up to the present day, laying the foundations for a thorough education in the field of music and ultimately find their own style and personal voice in the contemporary context, while remaining fully aware of the enormous legacy of the past. Of course, this method has advantages and disadvantages, like any method, slowly building a solid musician who later, at the master's level, arrives at new music, but offers the chance for a lasting, solid construction and an authentic voice. The other extreme, let's say, involves direct composition in the soundscape of the 20th and 21st centuries, but which, in the absence of talent, solid prior education, or special intuition on the part of the student, can be like building castles in the sand. In conclusion, I have only been teaching composition for a few years, and I find it one of the most demanding and risky things I do, but also rewarding. I feel I still have to learn a lot, so I try to work with each of my students' creative personalities as they are, and I try to give them stylistic freedom, even though I advise them to explore new music with courage and openness. At the Academy of Music in Cluj, it is understood in an unwritten but long-standing tradition that composition should only be taught by composers who have proven themselves personally, but who also have a substantial number of years of experience in teaching other technical disciplines like harmony, musical forms and analysis, counterpoint, orchestration. Thus, teaching composition is a high level that can be reached, and as far as I am concerned, I can tell you that this approach is fair. Indeed, teaching composition, it is not at all easy or accessible without experience that must grow continuously.
Yeah, I have deep admiration for people who teach composition, and I often say that sometimes when I hear how you go about it, then I wish I had those classes too, because like in voice, and maybe it's the same with violin, I was only told this is right, this is wrong, this is how you have to do it. And I think there was not so much about me or how I feel, or and I think it's now changing depending on the voice teacher, that they approach you more also as a human being, because I think, I mean, you're young and in a way you need this guidance also to develop as a person. But I felt it was just about my voice and technique and all that. And so I'm always jealous when I hear what great things you do in composition classes.
And the danger is even greater, I think, with students in composition. They feel about their pieces or their style exercises like they are their own children. And when you say it's not good, it's not right, you make with red color everything, they are so hurt about it. So after that, you have to make some therapy with them to understand that this is the process. They are talented, but we need to go on. I also, when I was a student, I remember that I was so mad about my composition teacher, who didn't understand what I wanted to do. But after 1 or 2 years, I understood that he was completely right about it.
Wow.
So I also told to my students this aspect. And of course, with respect for their personality, I try to take them forward.
Well, that's often in life that sometimes, I mean, in music or in general, give you an advice or they say something and maybe years later you get it or it starts to bloom and you're like, oh, now I get it what she said.
Yes.
And I mean, it's the question if you can already hear it or if it can land or if it's just like preparing. And the thing you said that you're so vulnerable, because it gets you often when people say, no, this is not good. And I think that's the biggest learning for an artist in general. To singers also have to learn this, because this is our body and there's nothing I can change. There's hardly anything I can change about my voice. If someone doesn't like my voice, yeah, what can I do? And some people will love it, and that's great. And I had to learn to really separate it, that it has nothing to do with me as a person, and maybe they can also whatever like me as a person or like other things, and it's just this one part. But with voice, it's so different, because you know, if whatever you don't like the sound of a piano, the pianist could play on a different instrument, but I cannot do this. It's just like, okay, I don't like this voice or how she sings, and that's it. And I think in composition, it's probably similar because it comes out of you, and in a way, you should do your thing, and regardless if someone likes it or not, even though probably when you learn, it's also good to figure out why maybe you mirror the student. Oh, this is maybe not a good track for you. Maybe you get lost there.
Yes.
But then in the end, they might have to figure it out on their own. And sometimes you also learn running against the wall, and then you're like, okay, this is really not the direction I should go.
Yeah, you are right, completely. And the musicians are so sensitive, everyone. And it's very difficult, but also very special to deal with everyone. Everyone is an artistic personality, and you can learn a lot. And I think it's enough for everyone to be as authentic as possible, to be yourself, because there is a place for everyone, in fact. And when you are authentic and sincere, then you can provide an added value to the artistic context. It's no use to try to imitate anyone, to be someone else. You are meant to be yourself, and this is enough and more than enough. And this is great.
Yeah. And when we look at everything you do, composing, teaching, curating, et cetera, how do you get everything done? Do you have a structured day, or how do you do that?
Touche. You got me. With the time management is a problem. These days, as I told you, together with two colleagues, we are organizing four chamber recitals, followed by two concerts of contemporary music in October. Next up in November is a Romanian-Polish concert, which will mark the establishment of a connection with the composition department in Poznan, and then an inter-art recital based on the work of a Cluj-based sculptor, Liviu Mocan, in which his metal sculptures inspire pieces, inspire poems that inspire songs for voice and piano, or simply become percussion instruments. But also these days, I'm trying to organize the structure of the Future Modern Cluj Festival from May 16 to 22, 2025, where I'm very happy that you, Erin, will be coming along with Martin. In addition to organizing concerts, there are also composition commissions. The academic year begins in September 29, and I'm resuming my bachelor's, master's, and doctoral courses. To be honest, I don't know how I will be able to juggle everything. I can only tell you that I'm trying to prioritize the things that are truly important to me at the expense of those that are urgent but less important. Firstly, there is composition, and I'm attempting to find a stable and somewhat permanent place for it every day in the academic year. I don't know if I've succeeded. Then organizing concerts of new music, in which I often involve all my fellow composers from the Cluj branch of the Union of Composers and Musicologists of Romania, as a vice president of the union, gives me great satisfaction and fulfillment. I feel that I'm doing something good for others and that I'm leaving something behind, but it is not more important than composing. When I write, I feel the utmost satisfaction. I feel that this is my calling and that I'm doing something truly meaningful for myself and, who knows, perhaps for others as well. On the other hand, I also need free time. I can't work all the time. I can't overload myself with work. I need to forget for an hour in a day, or sometimes even only in a week, about everything that surrounds me and watch TV series with my 17-year-old son, Daniel. I try to engage sometimes in physical exercises, especially since I have chronic spinal problems. I really enjoy going to the cinema. This summer, I exhausted all the films that interested me at the multiplex and waited for new titles to be released. I really like reading, but I can't always do it, especially during stressful periods. Sometimes the only complete release possible is represented by, you won't guess in a thousand years, video games. I don't have any advice for anyone because I still haven't found the right balance for myself and often can't apply what I set out to do. However, I believe that balance is key between work and relaxation. A few years ago, I decided that on Sundays I would do nothing but spend time with my family, play sports, play games, go to church, and Sundays have become fantastic. And on the other hand, at work, I feel that the truly important things that give meaning to life should be prioritized over the urgent, but in reality, on a larger scale, insignificant things.
And so with the composing, do you like to do it at a certain time in the day, or are you flexible?
Usually I like to compose in the first half of the day. I need the first half, and then I need to stop my all devices, the telephone. I need to be in a silent place, and I need more than the time really needed for writing. I need 1 or 2, maybe 1 hour to get into the atmosphere. Maybe I'm reading something, or I look at some paintings, reproductions. It helps me to get in a creative mood. And it is also very important, if possible, not to leave from home, even in the second half of the day, to feel that you have the whole day for it. Unfortunately, it's seldom possible to have such conditions. So during the academic year, I'm okay also with 3 hours of silence to write something.
Cool. Yeah, balance is a key, I think so too. And who or what has played the greatest role in shaping you, and what inspires you?
I believe that my composition professor during my bachelor's degree, Professor Hans-Peter Türk, had the strongest influence and shaped me the most. But there are many professors and colleagues, both older and younger, who have shaped me and continue to do so. I cannot forget my beloved violin teacher from Deva, Viorel Soltan, my high school theory teacher, Tiberio Bardan, my high school harmony teacher, Adrian Lazar, my teacher and mentor, Valentin Timaru, with whom I began studying composition in the 10th grade as a high school student, and then I became his assistant at Musical Forms and Analysis, but also Professor Cornel Serrano, who was my doctoral coordinator, or Professor Adrian Bob from Cluj, whose composition classes I attended as an assistant, with whom I collaborated and continue to collaborate on multiple levels, and from whom I learned a great deal. From Dan Dediu, perhaps the most important Romanian composer of the moment, president of the Union of Composers and Musicologists of Romania, but also many others. About the second half of the question, the inspiration for me comes many times from other arts, especially from literature. I like to read, and sometimes the subject of a novel inspires me, or sometimes only the atmosphere, and things begin to happen.
And what does it mean for you to be true to yourself or authentic in this music business, and how do you keep true to yourself?
The biggest failure I could have when writing a piece is not liking the piece myself. Then there is no chance that anyone else will like it, but first and foremost, I have disappointed myself. I have failed. That is why, after writing the piece, an extremely important step is to correct, edit it, which can sometimes take quite a long time, until every moment of the piece is exactly as I want it to be, sounding as appropriate as possible. Almost anything can be corrected, edited, sometimes with great effort, but it's worth it. Without this stage, I would never achieve complete satisfaction, and I wouldn't really give that piece a chance to have a long and successful life. And so, whatever I write, I try to devote myself completely to it, to do the best I can at that moment. My mother used to tell me, never be ashamed of what you sign as a composer. I try to follow this advice, which has had a profound effect on me. I believe that this is how I remain sincere and authentic. And you should know that one can feel this. This summer, I wrote a piano piece just before writing the piece for Ian Martin, in which I told musically the story of the last few years for me. I tried to capture exactly the states I went through, and the pianist, who is playing my third piece in a row, told me that he likes this one the most, that he finds it the most authentic and sincere. Sometimes, under pressure from the context, the music industry, compositional trends, or the public, you may be tempted to make concessions. I believe, as your question suggests, that the surest path to success is authenticity and sincerity. In any case, you cannot lie in composition. The piece and the creation are exactly as the person is, no matter how much they try to hide it. It is sounds extremely personal, but that is why it is wonderful and diverse, because the music will automatically be unique just as you are. All that remains is for it to be well written with skill and dedication. And if, despite being authentic and sincere, you are not successful, at least you have the full satisfaction of your complete musical expression. In any case, without being authentic and sincere, I don't think you can have lasting success, and you also have the dissatisfaction of not having been yourself.
Oh, great. And what does success mean for you?
Success is when I love a piece I've written to the max, without any reservations about a certain moment or section, when the audience cheers and when my fellow composers sincerely congratulate me. That's absolute success. I'm happy also with the first two situations, me and the audience, and can be content. Without the first situation, when I don't like the piece, I'm unhappy and lost.
That's a good starting point, that you are really satisfied with your piece. And then you might be even stronger, like we mentioned before, that maybe someone doesn't like it, but you like, no, I'm fine with it. And not everybody needs to like it. Not everybody needs to like me. I mean, we're all different.
Yes, exactly.
Cool.
It's a good, safe starting point, as you said, but also it's very difficult to get there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work hard to get there, and in
yeah.
different proportions every time.
Yeah, it's the most important, but I find it a very difficult thing. Or it's also like a continuous thing. I mean, you
yes.
always keep learning, because there are always situations that might still challenge you and like, okay, who am I now?
Right.
And is there anything that drives you forward? Or do you have kind of a vision?
This summer, at one point, I had a block for a few days. I couldn't write anything. I was desperate. I exaggerated that moment I was going through, and I feared that I had maybe lost my ability to write. I realized that this is what defines me most deeply. Without writing, composing, I don't really know who I am. To move forward, I need meaningful and significant things in my life, and writing is one of them. I move forward also for my son, Daniel, but I also move forward because I believe there is a God who has called me to a life and a plan of his that I often do not understand, that sometimes does not suit me, but without him, nothing really makes sense and nothing matters. I believe that I have a role to fulfill for the benefit of others, and that only this will fulfill me completely. I also hope that my best days are not behind me, but ahead of me. As the Bible says in the Proverbs of Solomon, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. This is the things that help me to go forward every day, to wake up, to motivate
yeah.
myself, even in difficult and stressful periods.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important how you carry yourself through the difficult days. I mean, the easy days are fun, but they're easy.
Right. And sometimes the most difficult days are the most important. I think there are some like tests. You have an exam,
yeah.
you have to prove yourself. It's an official play, official game you have to make that day. And
and I think it's sometimes, I don't know if I use not the right word, like with a like a sand watch.
Okay.
And you kind of have to get through the narrow part, and then it suddenly gets wide again, and maybe even wider than before. And you're like, oh my God, there are so many opportunities now.
You are right. I'm in the narrow part right now, and I'm waiting for the large part.
Yes.
I hope that it will come necessarily in the future, in the Near future, I hope so.
I'm sure.
Thank
I mean,
you.
it's always, I think, also kind of cyclic. So
Right.
eventually it will come. Or, I mean, also like the picture with the, it's different with the wave. Sometimes you're on the wave and then things just happen and you play it out and it's like, oh my God, everything is just working out for me. And then the wave crashes. And then at some point you're at the low part. And then I often feel nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. What's going on here? But I learned to take it more, that this is also a very important time to be ready when the wave goes up again. Because if I think if we would be 24/7 just on the wave, it probably will be exhausting.
You are completely right. It's so interesting. I will take it with me after our
Okay, cool.
discussion. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And yeah, we have a great talk, but actually we are now at the last question, and I always would like to know also from you, which tip would you like to give young artists?
I don't know if I'm entitled to give advice or if I'm capable of giving good and authentic advice. Be yourselves, be sincere, be authentic, be assertive. That way you will be aligned with your values. I remember a piece of advice from George Enescu. Don't use music, serve it. To give themselves passionately, to try to put aside the envy is so present in the artistic world, but not only there. Because each person is unique and irreplaceable, and each person's honest and authentic contribution is an added value. As I mentioned before, I hope that everyone finds the best possible place for themselves in the general artistic landscape, and more importantly, that they truly enjoy what they do every day. It is better for me to teach music with pleasure at a primary school in a mountain village than to go tormented by anxiety and envy to any famous philharmonic orchestra that comes to mind. That's what I think. I don't know if I'm right or not.
Yeah. Thank you so much for this talk, dear Christian. And
Thank you. Thank
yeah, I
you.
see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you very much for everything.
This was the interview from today. I hope that it inspired you. And please send me your emails, send me your feedback, because I love to interact with you. Thank you very much that you tuned in with me today. I really, really hope that you liked it. And please tell your friends and colleagues about this podcast. I thank you very much. I wish you all the best. Live your music, live your life, and see you next time. Yours, Irene.